First of all, a warm greeting to all the moms who are present here at Mass this morning, especially my mom, as we celebrate Mother's Day. I sent out in a family group text yesterday that since I'm the firstborn, I'm the one who actually made mom a mom, so today really should be in honor of me. Not well received, I can tell you that much. Secondly, the gospel passage this morning is particularly short, unlike the last several weeks. And since it's such a short gospel passage, I figured that it would just give me time to preach a really long homily today. So here we go. I think there's a tendency when we encounter the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd to over-sentimentalize it. I think we can take this image of Jesus as a Good Shepherd and easily turn it into some sort of sappy Hallmark Channel movie. Oh, Jesus is my shepherd, and oh, it's so nice and wonderful and peaceful. We have to be careful with that. Especially this line that says, no one can take them out of my hand. I think that it might inspire a bit of a false confidence in our relationship with Christ. It is true that no one else can take them out of my hand, but there is somebody who can take us out of the hands of God. There is one person who can bring us out of the sheepfold, and it's ourselves. God, respecting our free will, having given us a rational intellect and a will, permits us the freedom to say no to him, to choose our own will. In fact, the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles speaks it as the gospel was being proclaimed by the early followers of Jesus, that people were forced to make a decision to believe in the gospel as Jesus had taught it, or to say no and to remain in darkness and error. You might say, okay, well, that's at the proclamation of the gospel. Once they accepted it, can we still say no? Yes, we can. For daily Mass yesterday, the gospel passage was from the sixth chapter of John's gospel, known as the Bread of Life Discourse. And nearly a dozen times in the sixth chapter of John's gospel, Jesus speaks about himself as the Eucharist. I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will never die. My flesh is true food. And towards the end of the Bread of Life Discourse, many of the disciples, now remember, these are people who have been following Jesus for months or years at this point, say, many of them say, this is a hard saying. Who can accept it? Of course it's a hard saying, right? But what happens next is very tragic. It says that many of his followers turned away, left him, and went back to their former way of life. They had been disciples of the Lord. They had been his followers along the way. They had heard the gospel proclaimed, and many of them had accepted it. And then it got to a point where they chose to reject it. The only one who can take us out of the hands of God is ourselves. And to have a false confidence in our security and our relationship with Jesus will set us up for failure. Last week, I spoke to you about this book that I've been reading, called Into His Likeness, Be Transformed as a Disciple of Christ by Edward Serre. Many of you have heard him on EWTN. Awesome, awesome theologian. But as I've been reading his book, I wanted to share another passage with you that as I was reading it a couple of weeks ago, it really impacted me a lot. I want to share this with you. Are you a true follower of Jesus or just a fan? Jesus never had problems attracting people to his ministry. Word about his movement spread quickly, and large crowds from throughout the region came out to see him. They were impressed by his dynamic teaching, which made him stand out from other teachers of the day. They were also intrigued by his many healings and miracles. They even saw him as a great leader, a prophet, the long-awaited Messiah king, somebody they could really rally around in hopes that he would give them a better life. Now, this next paragraph really struck me. So Jesus had high approval ratings for much of his public ministry. He had many fans. But he was looking for more than that. He was looking for souls who would follow him completely as his disciples. And the same is true today. There are many of us who wear various Catholic badges. Perhaps we attend Catholic conferences, show up at parish events, say certain prayers, enjoy fellowship with other like-minded believers, listen to Catholic radio, and vote for the, quote, correct political candidate. From all outward appearances, we may seem to be very interested in Catholic things. But inside, are we truly committed to the Lord? Have we surrendered our lives to Christ, seeking to fulfill his plan for our lives, and not just our own? In other words, are we merely fans of Jesus, or are we true followers? And as in his own day, Jesus today is looking for souls who are willing to do more than the crowds who are fascinated by all things Catholic. Jesus is looking for souls willing to give a total commitment to him as disciples. When I read that section of this book, I closed the book, I set it aside, and I just had to think through, right? Especially that part about voting for the right candidate, going to conferences, listening to Catholic radio, all those things. Things that bring us a sort of confidence that we're living the Catholic life, but it can stay on the outside, right? And so I started thinking through, what is my commitment to the Lord? Does it go deeper? And I think it's a question for all of us to ask. Are we fans of Jesus, or are we his followers? Do we have a false confidence in Jesus as the good shepherd who says nobody can take us out of his hands, except, of course, for ourselves? As I was thinking about this, my mind went back to a few months ago when Deacon Ralph was here to preach our Lenten parish mission. And he spoke about the little black box. Now, I admit, I didn't hear real clearly what he was saying because I was in a confessional and I was really trying to pay attention to people who were going to confession. It was like confession after confession, somebody talking about this little black box. And I'm like, what's he preaching about? And so I tried to find out, and I might not entirely have it exactly right, but remember, I didn't hear it directly from him. But the way I understand it is he spoke about this little black box that we tend to put things in our life that make us uncomfortable. Things that bring us shame or guilt, past sins or current struggles, habits, addictions. Things that we say, okay, I'm not going to deal with that. The rest of my life is going pretty good, but this little bit over here, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to ignore it. And through his preaching, many people brought that little black box to the light of the confessional. Praise God. But I propose it to you again, right? Because this is worth us reflecting on. Are we fans of Jesus, or are we his followers? Is there something holding us back? And I would imagine for each of us here, there is something that's holding us back from that next step. So how do we become disciples of the Lord? It seems to me, this one sentence from what I just read is very important. Have we surrendered our lives to Christ, seeking to fulfill his plan for our lives? You see, I think a true disciple of the Lord goes through this process of surrender again and again and again. And so I ask you, what is it that's holding you back from that next step? What is it that's in that box of shame or guilt or addiction or whatever it might be? And can we surrender it to the Lord? Now, if you have a question on your mind that says, okay, Father, that all sounds great, but surrender, 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 how do I do that? I think that's a fair question. And I think it's a fair question because as I was reading this, I kept thinking, okay, surrender, yes. Whatever that next thing is, whatever the next step is, and we all have those things. And again, maybe it's something from the past. Maybe it's something we're currently dealing with. It doesn't matter. There's something it's holding us back from taking that next step. How do we surrender it? Well, I'm not an expert in this, and I can't give you what I don't have. But I do want to share with you my thoughts about what surrender really looks like as a place to start. Two things. First, whatever it is that's holding us back needs to be brought to the light. We need to acknowledge it as existing in our life. And maybe that means bringing it to confession if it's a sin we've never confessed. Maybe it means journaling about it and reflecting on it and acknowledging that it is part of our life. The first step of surrender is to recognize reality as it is. Stop making excuses for it, stop hiding it, stop ignoring it, but accept reality as it is. That's step one. Step two, invite the Lord right into that. Right into that mess of our own life, wherever it may be today. And to ask him to heal it. Ask him to change it. Ask him to relieve the burden of guilt and shame. The mark of a true follower of Christ, and not merely a fan, is surrender. The daily surrender of the Christian life, surrendering those things that hold us back, those things that we hold on to, surrendering it to our Lord, is where we can find the grace to be his disciple, to follow after him. The grace of discipleship is the grace that leads us to be saints. Not to have some sort of false confidence that the Lord will never let us leave his flock. No, he will. He leaves it up to us. He does not diminish our free will. But to surrender what's holding us back so we can make that choice again and again to be a follower, to be a disciple, and therefore, to be able to spend eternity with God in heaven.